Good morning. Let's pray. Oh, Holy Father, we bow before you this morning, thankful that you've called us your people. Father, we thank you for the blessed occasion of the gathering of your people. We pray that by your grace, we might worship you in spirit and in truth this day. Father, we know we need. We're not sure what we need. Would you give us just what we need? Would you equip us, edify, encourage, enlighten us? Father, I pray that you would bless our fellowship this day, that it might be sweet and encouraging. We pray most of all that our Savior might be highly exalted this day, that men and women, boys and girls might come to him and be saved. We ask you these things in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the most basic command for me in relation to you as an episkopos, an overseer, is feed my sheep. Bill and I often pray that God will give us just the right food for his sheep. And I trust that you do the same. And surely God will answer such prayers. And thanks, I have for you some very simple food this morning. And I trust that God's faithful and that simple food may be what we need. Please open your Bibles to the fourth gospel, chapter 1. The gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. Can't get away from this, can we, Bill? John, chapter 1. In what is known as the Johannine prologue, the beloved apostle begins his gospel intentionally with language that harkens back to Genesis. He begins his gospel with the same words that Moses begins the book Genesis. And he writes, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The English Standard Version renders the beginning of the prologue like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, you know that the beloved apostle is writing his gospel account with a specific purpose in mind. His specific purpose, his goal, his desire is that his readers might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. So John tells us the reason why I wrote this gospel is because I want you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if you believe, you'll have life through his name, John 20:31. So with John's purpose in mind, the purpose that we might believe, with John's purpose in mind, I'd like for us to think about light and darkness in relation to Jesus. Light and darkness in relation to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the prologue, John identifies Jesus as the Logos, the Word of God. And John attributes divinity to the Savior. Jesus, the Word, he says, is God. Jesus, the Word, was with God and was God. Jesus, he teaches, is God the Creator. He created, and there is nothing in all creation that He didn't create. He's the origin of life, the bearer of divine life and divine light. And as God's light, His coming into this world, listen, as God's light, His coming into this world was a shining. It was a shining. Jesus, the light of God, has shined into the darkness of this world. And the darkness cannot master the light. The darkness cannot understand the light. The darkness cannot overcome or suppress or contain the light. And the light shines on. And John loves this idea. John loves this idea. This idea that Jesus is the light of God. And that Jesus is the divine light. The only light that can truly enlighten and enliven men. John loves the idea, but listen, it's not John's idea. It's not John's idea, it's God's idea. And John got the idea from God, from Jesus. In John 8:12, Jesus converses with some scribes and Pharisees in Jerusalem. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that walketh in me, the Savior said, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. And did you see how Jesus connects light and life? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the reason why, listen, the reason why is that because in Him, that is, in Jesus, is life. And that life was the light of men, John 1:4, which we just read. The image that John paints there in those first few verses of the Johannine prologue, the image that he paints there is a creation image, John 1:5. Now, scientists, you know, have defined darkness negatively. They define darkness negatively. They don't say what darkness is. They say what darkness isn't. You've all heard this. They say darkness is the absence of light. So they define it negatively. And in their scientific definition, darkness is nothing. No thing. It's a void. Darkness is an absence, while light, they say, is a presence. And so they say, darkness is no light. Right? Well, that scientific definition is interesting, but the theological definition is more ominous. The theological definition of darkness is not so benign. In Holy Scripture, darkness is not an absence. In Holy Scripture, darkness is not a no thing, not a nothing. In the Bible, darkness is present, active malevolence. In the Bible, darkness is not just a nothing. It's a something. In Holy Scripture, darkness is working. Darkness is laboring, trying to overcome light. But it cannot. Brothers and sisters, listen. Satan, the prince of this world, is at work these days. Do you hear me? As a roaring lion, this dark prince walks about this earth, seeking whom he may devour. Dark, malevolent evil is on the move these days. And in Iraq, and in Iran, and in Egypt and Arabia, saints are being slaughtered. The darkness is at work, trying to overcome the light. But listen, it cannot. It cannot. The scientific definition of darkness is interesting. But sisters, brothers, listen. Let us never believe that darkness is merely an absence. Darkness is a presence. Powerful and active, seeking to suppress and contain light. On a hill far away, on a mountain called Calvary, that old serpent, Satan, sought to murder Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When the chief priests with the captains of the temple and the elders came out to arrest the Savior, he surrendered without a fight. And he told them, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." John 22:53. Darkness was at work. Darkness was at work. On the move, darkness planned to extinguish the light. But the light of the world saw through the dark plot. And the light toyed with the darkness. The life, who was the light of men, willingly laid down his life. And the darkness thought it was snuffing out the light. But it wasn't. It wasn't. Describing the victory of God in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." It being his cross. The light toyed with the darkness, made a show of them openly. Colossians 2:15. At Calvary, the darkness sought to extinguish the light. But the darkness could not do it. The same evil darkness that sought to snuff out the light at Mount Calvary, listen, seeks to snuff out the light today. And listen, light bearers, darkness is on the move. Darkness is on the move today. Charles Baudelaire wrote, "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Maybe so. Maybe so. But Holy Scripture reveals that a great trick of the prince of darkness is to transform himself into an angel of light. And his ministers into ministers of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And the saints of God, those who have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1:13, the saints of God, like their Master, can never be ultimately extinguished by the darkness. Saints, that's our hope. Our light, because it's His light, cannot be put out. Beloved, listen. As lights in this world, we are targets of darkness. As lights in this world, we are targets of darkness. And you young saints, listen, listen. You shouldn't be ignorant of the fact that when your light begins to shine, the darkness takes notice. Mortar is aroused. When your light begins to shine, the darkness takes notice. The Savior says, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believes in me will not abide in darkness. John 12:46. And he says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. John 12:35-36. Ever since the fall, darkness has sought to overcome light. But it has not. And it has not because it cannot. And the light shines today. It shines all around. Brighter in some places, more subdued in other places. But the light shines, and men see it, and they know that's light. They know it's light. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 3:19-21. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake. This is a fallen planet. And it's beautiful. But it's dark. It's dark. It's a dark world that we inhabit. The darkness is not void. It's active and present. Evil. But our God, who is light and life, our God has not abandoned our fallen world to the darkness. A divine invasion has occurred. The light has come. The light has come. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders accompanied the coming of this light. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Matthew 2, 1 and 2. A star in the east, the birth of a king, the birth of the King of Kings. And God said, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1. 14 through 18. Friend, what is the purpose of the stars? If you seek the answer to that question in Holy Scripture, the first answer you'll find is there in the first chapter of Genesis, where God tells us that the stars are to be for signs and seasons and days and years, and to give light upon the earth. And when God Almighty would invade this dark world, the heavens declared His glory, and the firmament showed forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttered speech, and night unto night showed knowledge. Psalm 19, 1 and 2. His declaration went out to the whole world, and there was no speech or language where His stars did not speak. But who heard that star? Who heard that star speak? Wise men from the east. Magi. Foreigners. The first to note heaven's invasion of earth were not even Israelites. And doesn't that bespeak God's universal providence? He is God, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And saints, listen, you know this, but remember, the light has come. The light has come. Do you see it? In the primordial creation, the Savior said, "Let there be light." Genesis 1:3. And in my mind's eye, I see, bam! And at 186,000 miles per second, waves or particles of light, whatever it is, race across the universe. And the light has never stopped. And don't you see? When the seed of God was planted in the womb of a Judean virgin, the darkness sought to overcome the light. And that devil, Herod, like a great red dragon, slew every child in Bethlehem under 2 years old. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Revelation 12, 4 and 5. The darkness tried, The darkness tried to overcome the light, but in divine irony, the light was hidden in dark Egypt. And the darkness could not overcome the light. Another attempt was made when the dark prince tempted the Savior, seeking worship from him and trying to kill the light with death. The devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Matthew 4:5-7. The light shined. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Dearly beloved, at His birth, our Savior shined, and the darkness sought to extinguish the light, but the darkness failed. In His life and in His ministry, our Savior radiated, shining divine light into men and women. And the darkness tried to put out that light, but the darkness failed. And in His death, the Savior blazed before a watching world, a great and shining light, a glowing ember of grace. And the darkness thought it had won, but the darkness failed. The sun was turned into darkness. Deep darkness was upon the face of the earth for a space of 3 hours. Luke 23:44. And the Son of God was buried in a rich man's tomb in darkness for a space of 3 dark days. But out of the darkness, light arose. And the light told His followers, Tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. And do you remember what happened there at Jerusalem as they tarried, waiting for the light? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them as cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Acts 2:1-3. Scholars and translators have wondered about these tongues of fire. But listen, one thing is clear. Whatever they were shining. They were radiating. They were glowing like fire. The presence of Christ and His Holy Spirit shined in His saints. And it shined throughout Jerusalem. And the shining radiated across the ancient world and into every nation. And like the light of original creation, Jesus, the light, shined. And He still shines. And listen, if you are a believer in Jesus, the Son of God, today, It's because the light has shined into you. And if you're here today and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has shined into you, He has a word for you. He has a word for you today. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. Listen. Brother, sister, listen. Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to glorify God? I know you do. Listen. Jesus wants us to shine. Jesus wants us to shine. And when we do, God will be glorified. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When I was a little boy, I learned a song that goes like this. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for Him each day. In every way, try to please Him at home, at school, at play. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. A sunbeam, I'll be a sunbeam for Him. And there was another song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm gonna let it shine. Beloved, listen. If you've come to Jesus, you've come to the light. And you have some shining to do. If you've come to Jesus, you've come to the light. And you have some shining to do. This world is dark. And it needs light. And Almighty God loves this dark world. He loved this dark world so much that He sent His only begotten Son to shine in this world, to be light in this world. And God, who commanded the light to shine into darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. And what is this treasure? What is this treasure that we have in these earthen vessels? In these jars of clay? Well, the treasure we have is the light. The light. The light has shined in our hearts. And He still shines there. And the simple task that He gives to us is shine. Just shine. In think I said there's a simple word today. And it's simple, but it's imperative. It's the command of Christ. Shine. Shine. We are bearers of Jesus, the light. And the command of the light to us is shine. And you don't have to go far away. Shine right where you are. How blessed thy creature is, O God, when with a single eye he views the luster of thy word, the dayspring from on high. Through all the storms that veil the skies and frown on earthly things, the Son of Righteousness he eyes with healing in his wings. Struck by that light, the human heart, a barren soil no more, sends the sweet smell of grace abroad where serpents lurked before. The soul, a dreary province once of Satan's dark domain, feels a new empire formed within and owns a heavenly reign. The glorious orb whose golden beams the fruitful year control, since first obedient to thy word he started from the goal, has cheered the nations with the joys his orient rays impart. But Jesus, 'tis thy light alone can shine upon the heart. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. Holy Savior, help us. Help us. We are so slow to learn and so prone to forget. So weak to climb. We are often in the foothills when we should be on the heights. We are often pained by graceless hearts, prayerless days, poverty of love, and slothfulness in the heavenly race. By sullied consciousness, wasted hours and unspent opportunities. We are often blind while light shines about us. Take the scales from our eyes. Grind to dust the evil heart of unbelief. Oh, make it our chiefest joy to study Thee, meditate on Thee, gaze on Thee, to sit like Mary at Thy feet, to appeal like Peter to Thy love, to count like Paul all things dung for Thy sake. Give us increase and progress in grace so that there may be more decision in our characters, more vigor in our purposes, more elevation in our lives, and more fervor in our devotion, more constancy in our zeal. As we have position in this world, keep us from making the world our position. May we never seek in the creature what can only be found in the Creator. Let not faith cease from seeking Thee until it vanishes into sight. Ride forth in us, O King of kings and Lord of lords, that we may live victoriously and in victory attain our blessed end. In Jesus' name, Amen.